Gracious God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can change, and the wisdom to know one from the other. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Some of you may remember the movie The Exorcist. It was released in theaters during the last week of 1973. There was great controversy about the graphic nature of the movie and the subject matter. Bob and I were dating at the time, so we rushed out to see it. It was indeed gross. Hollywood quite outdid itself with the special effects of the possessed young girl. Christians everywhere were outraged at this demonic movie that it had even been made. They felt it was unchristian. There was such fervor about it that this even got to my dad, and so he decided to preach a sermon to dispute the claim that this was unchristian. So he dredged up every awful, wretched Bible story that he could find, and he, with great animation, vividly recounted all these images for us to start off his sermon. And we got the point. These were all Bible stories, and they were much worse than anything we had seen on the big screen in the movie The Exorcist. Well, the gospel reading with the drowning of the swine was included in Dad's sermon. It made his list. It's a tough piece of scripture, and some of that story is just awful. I even asked Father Reeves for his thoughts about the gospel, and he suggested preaching on Galatians. He also said that having pigs as pets might be a bad idea. But it's here for us today, so we're going in. The things we know about it, and some of the things I learned in digging around about the story, are that Jesus and the disciples came from the west side of the Sea of Galilee. They had been active in places like Capernaum and Nazareth. And those were places that were populated mainly by law-abiding Jewish people. They came through that terrible storm. Remember, the disciples woke Jesus up and said, "Hey, we're scared." And Jesus calmed the sea. Well, right after that is when they landed over here in this faraway place that was 7 miles from where they had started. They got to that eastern shore and they encountered Gentile folk and people that were not like the Jewish people that they had left behind. The three Gospels tell us different names for the place where they landed, so we don't really know if they went to three different places or if the same place had three different names. But nevertheless, they landed and got out of the boat, and they found people who, in their view, were quite foreign to them, unclean in every way, their land, their practices, their pets, their herds. Pigs were unclean to Jewish people. They dressed differently. Everything was unfamiliar. It was truly a bold move for Jesus to take his disciples and go to this particular place. I had to wonder what was in the minds of the disciples as they went along on this journey. They were greeted by the possessed man. That man recognized Jesus immediately. You know, they didn't have newspapers or television or social media. How would he know which one was Jesus? But he did. And Jesus wasted no time finding out the man's name and treating him like the human being that he was in Jesus's way, always engaging with the person that nobody else would want to talk to. Jesus allowed the demons to enter the swine. They asked to enter the swine, and Jesus let them. He healed legion, but the swine were drowned. The next image we have is of the healed man sitting with Jesus, and he's fully dressed. Meanwhile, the rest of the community is being notified of the miracle, but also of the tragic deaths of the animals. Matthew's gospel tells us that the death toll of the animals was about 2,000. Then Jesus was asked to leave. The people were seized with fear, so they wanted Jesus to leave. I wondered what this fear was about. Did they fear future healings that would have the same kind of outcome where their herds would be destroyed? Those herds were valuable assets and worth a lot of money. And Jesus was always known for turning the economic tables. So perhaps that was part of the let's get Jesus out of here. But I also wondered about the kinds of changes Jesus might be seeking from these people. Real change, like loving others and accepting others, everyone, including Legion. So expectations like that might have generated fear. Having Jesus around means taking great risks. It means taking the heat. It can sometimes mean courageously doing things in a new way. Then Legion is told no when he asks Jesus if he can come with him. We know that Jesus is really the first person where Legion experiences love and compassion, somebody who saw him and was willing to help him. So it is not unexpected that he would say, hey, let me go along with you. I want to be with you. But Jesus says no, that he has to stay and witness what God has done for him. That is a tall order. We don't know if Legion would be welcomed back into his community. We don't know how people would treat him on the backside of many years of that person that nobody wanted to be near, that people were frightened from. We don't know how the story concludes. What did he do to witness what God had done for him? One commentary said, we don't know if he changed his name to Bob and went to work in a bank. We don't know. But what we are left to consider as Jesus does leave the east side of the Sea of Galilee is that it's possible that nobody's feeling any better for him having visited. Not the demons, not the locals, not the healed man, certainly not the pigs. But great things were done there. Jesus brought the disciples to a very new and different place. A great miracle took place, and the Spirit of God began to move in a region where no one expected it, and nor had they seen it before. So from the seats of the disciples, what they might have seen from all of this would be the power of Jesus is indisputable. It's clearly not the power of a mortal. How else could he calm the sea, cast out those demons? How could this all be within his control? That must come from God. The disciples might have realized that no one is beyond hope. Nothing is impossible with God. They might have figured out that Jesus' love is inclusive and that nothing separates us from his love. And they might have understood that we're called to share this love unconditionally with others, as our t-shirts say, no exceptions. So here we are at St. Martin's. We're about to enter a new chapter. Are we bravely ready to go to a new place? Will we ask for God's help and seek to remove our demons? As we make this journey, will we hold tightly to Jesus' hand and the hands of one another? Or will we become afraid and ask Jesus to leave? Will we choose to express God's unconditional love for one another and walk the path before us faithfully and together? Let us pray. Lord, sometimes we are tempted to insulate ourselves from others, those whom we see as different. We just don't want to deal with them, but we know you never flinched. You go out of your way to help the hurting and the hopeless. Let us be more like you. Help us to love ourselves and one another, and help us to love the unloved. Help us to follow you, especially when it goes against what we want to do. In your loving and powerful name we pray. Amen.